Welcome, venturers, to another episode of our Icewind Dale Rime of the Frostmaiden playthrough. We are so very glad to have you here joining us as we conquer the frozen northern wastes. Before we dive into another frightful episode, I gotta ask, have you followed us on social media yet? Our debut of our second main campaign is coming up fast on July 14th, and we've got a ton of really exciting news, posts that are going to be popping up on Twitter and Instagram, so make sure to follow us everywhere at Venture Maidens. I also want to tell you about this episode's super awesome sponsor, Greenleaf Geek. Greenleaf Geek is a queer, woman-owned business that produces custom handmade RPG dice, runes, and resin accessories. Leah of Greenleaf Geek is the mastermind behind Purihedral's Cat Dice, the super cute handmade sets of dice with cat silhouettes inside them, and the Keyfish Sharp Edge Dice, which have tiny little goldfishes inside, and the creator of so many other carefully curated dice products. To check out Leah's work or grab the links to pre-order Purihedral's or Keyfish Dice, head to her website, greenleafgeek.com, and check out her Twitter at greenleafgeek. Even better, all you Penwich Studio fans can head over to greenleafgeek.com, grab some sweet handmade dice, and then enter the coupon code Penwich at checkout for 10% off your order. So don't wait! Check out Greenleaf Geek to grab some sweet dice and support femme-owned small businesses. Alright, now here's the part where I dish on what happened last time, then we jump right into the episode. Last time on Rime of the Frostmaiden, our heroes rolled into Easthaven just in time to witness a red wizard being burned at the stake. After witnessing this troubling event, they managed to grab a meeting with Imdra, the Easthaven captain of the guard, and the townspeaker, Danith Whalen. The party quickly learned that Easthaven had been dealing with its own Duergar troubles, and the town officials agreed to call an emergency council meeting of 10 towns if the party traveled to the Duergar fortress to learn more. After reaching a coerced agreement, Captain Inja treated the party to drinks at the Wet Trout, where the gang caught the attention of a mysterious eye-patched woman named Velian Harpel. When morning rolled around, our crew prepared to set off with the help of a druid named Yselm, who had conveniently showed up just hoping to help. And that's what happened! So now, here's the episode. It's us! We're in the Winterlands! Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another episode of our Icewind Dale Rime of the Frostmaiden playthrough! For those of you who are new here, we are playing through the official Wizards of the Coast module, Icewind Dale Rime of the Frostmaiden, which I was one of the co-authors on. We are on our fifth episode! So we've been spending quite a bit of time in the horrid wasteland that is Icewind Dale. How do you all feel about it? Just impressions so far of Icewind Dale as a place. Go.
It's pretty cool.
Warm, fuzzy feelings all around, I'm sure.
I want to go home.
I want to go home. It's chill.
I mean, it's not where I'd pick to spend my last years, but Minnie seems okay.
People are friendly. The weather's good.
Yeah.
Gob's like, good stew.
Good stew. Great food. Yeah, okay. Well, not too bad. I guess then we're not afraid to get into tonight's episode. So let's go around the horn here. Oh, I should also say, if you are new,
This is a horror campaign. We explore some dark themes in this show, including things specifically for this episode. Content warnings include body horror. So just be aware of that. If that is something you do not enjoy listening to people talk about, this may not be the game or the stream for you. But let's go around the table here and introduce ourselves. My name is Celeste Conwich. I will be your dungeon master.
I'm Joe. I'll be playing Gab, your North fighter.
Hello, I'm Katie. I'm going to be playing Minerva Dinklebobble, the human wizard.
Hi, I'm Nassim. I'm playing your Kalishtar cleric, Xena Orendi.
Hello, my name is Inga Salenin, and I am your furball centaur combo druid, played by Sage.
Combo.
And I'm Vin. I love it. And last but not least, I'm Vincent, playing Veronica Cartwell, your changeling hexblade warlock,
who just gets more fabulous every time we see
I
her.
I love this
stream.
Hair. You don't understand. I wear it to the store.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You all are amazing. Have gorgeous hair. So we've established that. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and dive in, and I will do a very brief summary of what exactly is happening at this point in time. So you all had been led up to Jarlmut by Yselm, this frost druid who had basically volunteered her services as a scout, as a guide, to help you defeat these Duergar and put things right in Icewind Dale. She'd been kind of weird, but so far very helpful, because she did, in fact, take you to this spot called Jarlmut. And legend has it that Jarlmut is still haunted by the ghosts of these frost giant chieftains who used to meet there and hold council. And it's also said that if you walk into the Circle of Thrones, when the moon is full, you can actually see the chieftains and take their trial to gain entrance to a hidden tomb full of treasure. Yselm had casually mentioned this, and you had happened to arrive on an evening when the moon was indeed full, and some of you had decided to step into this ring and see if the legends were true. Sure enough, as you did, you stepped into this round circle of gigantic stone thrones on this flat hilltop. You had seen these frost giants appear, seven of them sitting in these chairs, looking down at you. One of them, clearly the largest, probably the leader of them, had seemed very amused at your gall to step into the circle. And he had asked you, "Do you accept my challenge?" And you all had said, "Yeah, hell
oh, yeah.
Sure.
Why not?"
So that is where we are picking up. I will say Mini, Inga, and Gob definitely stepped into the ring and have seen all of this happening. V, I believe you're still outside of the ring.
I'm like right on the edge just in case they, you know, get into
trouble. Yeah, you had seen them talking to invisible people and you hadn't heard the other side of the conversation. So, Xena, is this something would you have stepped into the ring to investigate, or are you standing on the outside of this?
How many folks are
Veronica?
In the ring?
Minerva, Inga, and Gob currently.
Oh.
Can I, you know, take a look back and you know, the tenuous casters. Come on! Come on, it's a challenge. Come on. Come on.
Inga's running forward for sure with Gob here on her back.
I'll beckon Balto Thunder as I charge forward.
Okay, are you gonna you're Balto gonna run into stay. The circle?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Then yes, I would follow.
Okay. Which is probably good, because as this challenge had been accepted, your friends had said, yeah. The ground had started to shake, and out of the drifts of snow that cover this hilltop, you had seen bones that began to raise in the air, now free of their icy confinement, and form the shape of something that seems to grow taller and taller and taller, completely bathed in moonlight, as you see this gigantic skeleton, easily the size of one of these frost giants, and it stares down at you with these cold blue pinpoints of light and heaves this ancient-looking weapon up at you all. Let's roll some initiative!
Whoa. Cindy, this is Bones. Would you be afraid of Clarissa Flockhart?
This is Bones. It's really tall. Okay. What did everybody get?
Gob got a 17.
Okay.
I got a natural 20!
Inga, 17, with a dexterity of plus 3.
Get it.
Yeah, higher than mine. I got 2.
18. This is starting out real good. Everybody's rolling real high.
Yeah, no, y'all are ready. Well, Zena, what'd you get?
I'm about to ruin your fun.
Oh, no.
I got a 6.
You got a 6, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, not the way in the world. So this gigantic creature that is up in front of you is clearly facing off against you all. All of this is happening within the circle of thrones here. So instantly, both Veronica and Zena, as you crossed over this line, you saw those 7 huge, like, ghostly giants that are all kind of sitting, you know, on their chairs watching as you know, the entertainment is about to unfold. I actually have a photo of this giant skeleton you're facing as well. Here we go. Let me see. Oh, yes. Look at this. Look at this cutie.
Ooh. Oh, handsome devil.
Brilliant.
Oh, boy.
Really handsome.
Love their
Very
shorts.
Very impressive. He's amazing. All right. So as this skeleton is forming and you see the final pieces come together, Minnie, you have the first move. What are you doing?
Yeah, Minnie is, like, has been looking around very intrigued by all this stuff happening, but as soon as she sees this, the guy appear, she's just gonna be like, oh, no, and is just going to be like, catch young man, and throw a chromatic orb at him.
Whoa,
no,
okay.
Hello.
I'm gonna do hello. It at third level.
Okay.
And I'm going to do... I'll do acid damage.
All right. And is that just an attack roll? Okay, come at me.
Bruh.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be... 18.
18 will hit. I like how they specify that the armor for this creature is armor scraps.
Specifically.
So you see just flecks of like rotted armor hanging off of this thing, and you manage to jam your shot right in the middle of these ribs. I don't think you have done chromatic orb. What is there a cool spin to that? What does that look like?
Honestly, it just is like if, you know, you took your grandma to go bowling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just like the under.
So crouch down and like, roll it very slowly on the ground.
And it like. It's almost weird because her movements like should not be giving this thing any momentum. But as soon as like it almost like leaves her fingertips, it just barrels forward at this thing.
Yes.
That's gonna do 28 points of acid damage.
Whoa, grandma's balls!
Can there be bumpers that show up on the way towards it?
Oh, I never missed.
Balls hurt. Holy crap! Oh, all right, God, anything else for you, Minnie? Are you? That's quite enough for you.
She's gonna stay as far away from this thing as possible. So back up, maybe a little bit.
Neat. Yeah, it's hard to get too far away from this thing. I'll probably say the area you're fighting is maybe like a 30 by 30 foot ring. That was probably a generous estimation. But yeah, you can definitely petter back. Cool. And that's going to bring us to Veronica. What are you doing?
Ooh, am I right next to this thing?
I'll say you're all pretty close. You could have run up at it if you wanted to.
All right, well, I'll do what I do best and swing this great axe that I conjured out of the ether.
Okay.
Yeah! Natural 20!
Whoa!
Wow! Beep, 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 beep.
Right. Wow, we're already starting this.
We're, we're doing it. It's happening. Because I got battle music playing in the background. It's great.
Yeah.
What am I rolling for this? All right, well, there's that. I'm also doing my great weapon fighting for that on top of it.
Neat.
So that'll be... then. Math is hard.
Mm-hmm. I pulled up my calculator.
That's why I just do everything on D&D Beyond now.
Yeah.
So the first hit does 22 damage as she slams her axe into the side of it.
Question, is your weapon magical, my friend?
It is. I am a hexblade. I conjured it from the ether.
Rats.
Ugh, Veronica's that bitch. I love her so much.
Oops. Okay. Well, it looks like it hurt.
Blood drinker, because level up. So another attack coming at him.
Ooh.
18.
18 will hit.
So that'll be 12 damage.
Okay.
And since I got a crit because of Great Weapon Master, I get to attack again as a bonus action.
Whoa! Look at you min-maxing.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just work here.
I'm sorry, what?
I think this one, oh, maybe this?
I feel like we have another DM in the house for some reason.
I just work here, it's fine.
I don't know.
14.
Okay, to hit? That is exactly what you need to hit armor scraps.
Yes!
So, ooh. Good for you!
And another 17 damage coming at his face.
Ooh! Wow, y'all are kind of rude.
Combo breaker!
Ow. Oh, God. Anything else for that horrible stream of death?
No, I'm good. That was me.
Okay.
That was hot. Beautiful.
Yeah, this frost giant is still up, but it is certainly missing quite a few bones at this point after sustaining so many hits in rapid succession. So, Inga, we turn to you.
All right, Gob, are you trying to get up within melee range of this thing?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Inga's galloping forward at this thing, ready to basically, like, chuck him off at the right point. And as she heads over there, you see that she digs her hands into one of a pocket on her belt, and she pulls out this, like, black rock that's been painted, and is almost sculpted to look like an eye, and she chucks it onto the ground, and suddenly from it springs forth this huge ephemeral shape of this orc, like, war chief captain who's got, like, this big fucking helmet and a huge fucking axe as she uses her orc stone, which she... This is my secret, guys!
Yeah! My stone!
That's cool.
So, yes, because... Let me pull this up. Where's my
just summoning thing? Friends, it's fine.
Oh my god, that's a good secret. I'm scared for the bad secret.
I saved the life of an orc who gave me the stone with the symbol of the Many Arrows tribe, which is a humanoid skull pierced by three arrows carved into it. The stone, and yeah, I get to summon this cool orc friend whose life I saved.
Badass. So badass!
Yes. Great. I'm scared for the really bad secrets that I'm sure some of us have.
I'm gonna say, like, that secret was great. Like,
your secret is that you have friends must be hard.
Wow.
Oh my god.
God. You're so tortured.
I am, right. And then as a bonus action, she will go into her starry form. And she'll take on the shape of an archer, and you see that she'll sling forth this radiant bolt of light at her. At the creature. And cool. She's gonna get an 18 to hit.
Yeah, buddy.
Sweet. And that's gonna be 9 radiant damage.
Ooh, radiant, huh? Oh, okay. No, I don't have... Alright. 9 radiant damage, yeah. So you continue to burn away at some of the ice and armor scraps and bones of this thing, who is honestly barely held together now at this point. Anything else for you?
Ooh, and then... And then my orc chief is gonna do a heckin' cool thing. Heckin' cool thing. He's going to use his battle cry. So each of us, until the end of his next turn, gain advantage on all attack rolls.
Okay.
That's cool as heck.
Heckin'.
Damn.
Heckin'.
Damn. Okay.
And then as a bonus action, he's going to, because he used that ability, he's going to, can use his bonus action to make a great axe attack.
Oh my god, okay. Our axes match! Crush him!
Oh my god, we're all just doing axe attacks!
And that is a 19 to hit.
A 19 will certainly hit.
And then 1d12 plus 1d8. 12 slashing damage.
Ooh! Okay. All right. Yeah, this your orc friend chonks into this thing in a major way. And at this point, basically only Vengeance is holding the skeleton together.
Out of spite.
It's being held together purely out of spite.
Powerful stuff.
Okay. And then that is going to bring us to Gob.
Right. So as Inga's galloping up closer to the skeleton giant, I think that, you know, Inga maybe stops suddenly to do the bow and the stone. At that time, can I have Gob say, pardon me, Inga, and run up and like vault off of her shoulder and just kind of like spider monkey cling or attempt to towards this skeleton so I can get up on maybe its axe arm?
Sure. What are you ultimately trying to do?
I'm going to get close to it and try to attack it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So go ahead and, yeah, let's make that a check.
Can I do athletics?
I mean, I think you can pretty easily get within range. You're close, and it's right there, and I'm not going to make you roll for it. You can just get into its space here and go ahead and make that attack.
All right, perfect. Yeah.
You have advantage.
Oh, yes, I do, and that is a natural 20.
Natural 20.
Wow! We're nasty tonight.
That's great.
You love to see it.
We are so nasty tonight. I love it.
Y'all are nasty. Your dice is nasty.
Crush everything.
So that's 10 non-magical damage, and I will burn a superiority die to cling to that arm as I come in with my fists and try to grapple it.
This like giant skeleton arm. You just see Gob
coming for it.
So, well, go ahead and just roll that superiority dice because you also get to add the damage onto it, right? Because that might.
Not for the grapple. Oh, okay. That was just a normal thing, and then a superiority just to as a bonus action. Grapple.
Can you grapple huge creatures? I believe they have to be one size category larger than you.
I want to believe.
If you're, because you're small, right? Or medium?
Yeah, borderline medium. no more. The target must be no more than one size larger.
Yeah, so okay. Unfortunately, I don't think you can grapple something this large.
Can I retract it then and just cling for a second to the axe arm and burn a superiority die to do a disarming attack?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, all right. Then that is another hit, and it's a spicy thing on top. So does a 16 hit?
A 16 will hit.
All right. And that is 8 points of non-magical
that
goodness.
That is enough. How do you want to kill this thing with the 8 additional points of damage?
Oh shit. Okay.
That's how I like to do battle. Damn. Not at all.
Not at all.
I love it.
You supervised. It's okay.
Like. Yeah.
I think, after Gob just, flies out of the air, spider monkeys onto this skeleton's arm and just, starts kicking and punching, trying to break the axe and the arm bones all away. So maybe he loses balance. The axe flies up and it lands dead center and boom.
Nice. Yeah, and this ancient skeleton just shatters into pieces with this final impact. The giants around the circle give sort of a nice golf clap, and the large giant from before is, you can handle the small fry. Good, good. This should be interesting.
First of all, man. Sir.
I don't like this. I burnt my third level spell on the small guy, and I'm upset.
So with this, all the giants kind of sit forward a little bit more in their chair, but you don't see anything on the field. But Xena, it comes to you. We're definitely still in combat turn order. What are you doing in this moment?
I was happily cheering on my team and just standing at the ready, hoping I'd get a go. But now that it's done, I think I might be a little bit more aware of the surrounding area.
Okay. So right now you're not doing anything on your turn. You're just like waiting.
Defensive.
After he says all that?
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I'll do... I don't have that great of perception, but yeah, okay. I'll just wait.
All right. And it's as you're waiting and cheering on your team that you suddenly feel like an arm go around your neck as something is trying to strangle you, something that you cannot see exactly from behind you is into you. And you feel a fist, an invisible fist, like punch you in the solar plexus.
Rude.
Yeah. So let's see. I get advantage on this. So here we go. Ooh. Ooh. All right. 21. Ooh. Gonna hit you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Cool. All right. That is gonna be 10 points of bludgeoning damage from the first attack. And they hit you again. That's gonna be 24 to hit.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. And then that's going to be 9 more points of bludgeoning damage as you are taking a beating from something you cannot see that is currently attacking you. And then let's go ahead and do 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's roll a d4, shall we?
Wait. So it attacked, but it's still invisible?
Oh, yeah.
Big fuck. Okay.
And... V, you also experience that weird feeling that something is really close to you all of a sudden, but you cannot see what is happening. Let's see if this thing lands a blow. A dirty 20, is that going to hit you?
It would have, except the moment that I feel something, I will cast Shield as the frost on the ground will kind of jump up and... wrap itself around me. So I have 21 for my AC.
Nice. Yeah. So that snow prevents something you see, like an arm that would strike across where you are, but was deflected by that snow. But it is coming in again at you. This is going to be 28.
Oh, that hits.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be 14 points of slam damage as you deflect from this, like, arm up above and you feel a leg come down and kick just up and under your shield and gets a really sick blow, like, against your knee. There appear to be 2 assailants on the field that you cannot see. And that is going to bring us to Minnie.
I'm going to cast Sea Invisibility.
Oh, shit. Minnie is always prepared.
That's good.
Okay, how does that work? Is it just on you?
It's just on me.
Okay. So as you cast Sea Invisibility, you see 2 creatures that are attacking your friends, and they're not quite human-shaped. They almost look more like they're just air that has been, like, forced together in these small gales. And you can kind of see these shards of eyes that, like, turn towards you as they realize you can see them. And they seem to blow more furiously, knowing that you are able to see them.
Oh,
so
shit.
It looks like just air beings are attacking your friends at this point.
Okay, so are they still, like, on my friends, or are they next to them? She's basically going to, I don't know if this...
They're next to them. Neither of them is grappled, okay. So they're both, like, right there.
I don't know if I could do this as a free action or if this will even work, but basically, she's going to try to just, like, continuously, like, use both of her hands to try to, like, point where they are as they move. And she's like, we got some wind fucks on your left and your right. And just try to, like, kick snow into the wind, like, looking fucking crazy.
I'm going to say that doesn't really help.
Sure.
But at least everybody knows what's happening.
Get them next time.
You know, well, all right. So that is what you are doing. And then Veronica. So you hear Minnie call out, there are invisible fucks, which you pretty much figured out because you got kicked real hard.
Right. Thanks, Minnie. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Anytime, sweetheart.
Love you lots. You're the best.
Sloppy grandma kisses.
I demand a Werther's to soothe this. It's fine. Veronica will kind of whisper something and then slam her hand on the ground. And as she brings it up, you see the ice start to coalesce and kind of cling to her body before it flashes and turns invisible. I will cast Armor of Agathys on myself.
Cool. Nice. All right. So you have a little more measure of protection. Anything else for you on your turn?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. So you throw up the spell, and then Inga, we come to you.
So Inga, seeing where Minnie is vaguely pointing and seeing my comrades just throw back their arms with the with injury. In that general vicinity, Inga is going to throw a fairy fire spell, which will be a 20-foot cube that will become outlined in this sort of aurora borealis green color. Ooh. So each creature within that cube of my choice, within that cube must make a dex saving throw, DC 14.
So I will say, if you would like, you can angle it to hit one group or the other, or you can get both, but that if you hit both, that's going to make literally everyone here roll fairy fire. Otherwise, you can hit one of these creatures and the person it's assaulting specifically. So you could hit like Veronica in the Invisible Stalker, or you could hit Xena in the Invisible Stalker, or you can hit everybody here, which would include both.
I'm going to say everybody.
Okay.
Don't worry,
they will also maybe get advantage against them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So everybody go ahead and roll me. It's a dexterity saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, against magic.
Oh, it's magic.
Not dexterous.
I know.
Me? Oh, yeah. I should have given a resistance or whatever.
Okay. So
is it guidance or resistance?
I'm going to do for Xena. Minnie is going to remember this weird dream she had with all this fairy fire blinking around where you rolled a 17, so to speak.
Get it.
Thank you.
Get it.
Nice.
And I'm going to roll, what is it, dexterity? I got a 14.
Mm-hmm. 14 is good.
Oh, thanks.
14 is good.
Gob got a 12.
14's your number.
So, Gob, you are outlined like an aurora borealis, as is one of these creatures. All of a sudden, Xena, there is this bright light that comes from behind you, as you all now can clearly see the outline of this thing. It's still pretty bizarre because this thing doesn't actually have like a solid form. It is a mass of wind, so that wind seems now to spin with that aurora borealis energy. Unfortunately, the other one did succeed, so it will not be fairy fired. So it's just Gob and this invisible thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well,
yeah. So shiny.
Oh boy.
All that glitters.
Feel like a sorcerer.
Now that she sees this one outline, she's going to use her bonus action to pew and shoot some radiant beams at it.
Ooh.
With a 22 to hit.
22 and will certainly hit.
Where did I just put my d8? God dang it. There it is. 4 radiant damage. And then Orc Boy McAxe Face is going to run up with his great axe.
Is that his name? Orc Boy McAxe Face?
Good. I'm here for it. It's in the books, man.
I am here for it.
And so that is, hot damn. Yeah, that is 22 to hit.
Oh, yes. Son of Scimitar, but
15 slashing damage.
Is this with non-magical weapon?
Non-magical weapon.
Non-magical weapon. Okay, so that's going to be halved.
Okay. And then a 24 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
And for an additional.
This orc isn't fucking around with these attacks.
Right.
13 damage.
And so halved to 7.
And then
6. That was really bad. 6.
6, yes.
We round down. D&D is hard.
And then would Inga be able to make a nature check now seeing this thing illuminated?
Yeah, you can go ahead and make a nature check.
Not sure. Oh, that's only a 10. Boo. Oh, well.
So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at these things, and it does seem to be an amalgamation of the wintry winds that sweep around you. So while you're not exactly sure what this is, you get the sense that it is some kind of elemental creature. You can just look at that with your druid training. You're like, yeah, that's probably what that is, mm-hmm. which is useful information. So that is going to bring us down then to Gob.
All right. Yeah, Gob's going to, you know, push the big bones out of the way, shake himself off a little bit, and, you know, appreciate that he's been spell empowered. And he's going to take a look and...
That's what that means, yes.
Yeah, probably. straight towards the illuminated angry wind. And yeah, he's, you know, just a full-on little guy charge and punch the hell out of it.
All right. And so to clarify, I'm not sure, Sage, if you were rolling like this, because you would normally have disadvantage to attack these creatures, but now you have advantage from fairy fire. It's just straight rolls.
Oh, okay.
But wouldn't that necessarily cancel out because we're getting or advantage because of the war cry as well?
You only ever apply one instance of advantage and disadvantage. Mm-hmm.
We can't chain card. We can't Yu-Gi-Oh card this.
You've activated my trap card!
No! So the first attack is a 24, and the second is a 16.
It does say in Fairy 16. Fire, though, that it can't benefit from being invisible.
Oh.
It's interesting because the creature is invisible. It's not a spell. It's fuck it, whatever. Y'all can have it. Have advantage. Right, so, that's probably wrong, but have advantage.
We broke the game.
I'll take it. Okay, so the first attack's a 24. The second would be a 26. Then
a 26. Yes. Yes.
And then yeah, I'll see. Hey, not bad. So 10 for the first hit, 9 for the second.
And these are non-magical attacks?
Just made the mitts.
Just your fists, okay.
I wish they magic to me.
So 5 and, sorry, what was the other one?
10, oh.
10 reduced to 5.
And yeah, and then 9 reduced.
4, okay.
Do I get the feeling as I'm laying into this wind that I probably wouldn't be able to, you know, hug it?
You do get the sense that it would be very hard to grapple a creature made of wind. Yes. I think even Gob can figure that one out.
Yeah. He's smart enough. As my bonus action, then I'll just do another hit.
And, all right, come at me.
Yeah. Come at me, bro.
People's elbow, 14.
Okay, a 14 is exactly the number you need to hit one of these things.
Great. Then it's 6 damage.
Okay. Reduced to 3. All right. You feel like you are punching wind against these things. It's hard, but you swear you're getting some kind of traction if you just hit it hard enough. But it's definitely going to be an uphill battle here.
Whipped cream monster.
Okay. And then Xena, we come to you. So the one by you is illuminated by this fairy fire.
Yeah. Then I would like to also angle some fairy fire at the one that was hovering around Veronica, because that one's not, right? That one's still, or now they're closer to Gob.
No, so that one is, well, you don't know, actually.
No one knows.
You have no idea.
I know.
Well, Minnie knows.
True.
Minnie, where's the other one?
Over there! As a quaking arm is just pointing in a direction.
I will say, if you do that, you are opening up Veronica as well to potentially feeling that fairy fire.
Do it, girl!
Yeah, I mean, everyone else needs to see them, and either I cast the invisibility and nothing happens,
and
only I can see it, or I just shoot a guiding bolt into nowhere.
That's fair. Okay.
So, fairy fire, please make a Dex saving throw.
Let's see. What did I get? What do I have? Pretty dexy. It's going to be a 17.
And an 18 for me.
Well, both of you, good job.
It's a wash, as both of these individuals are too intense to be affected with fairy fire.
Well, dang. I guess that's it.
Ah, okay. All right. And then that is going to bring it to my turn. Fun. Okay. So let's see. Yes, Minnie, You feel something. Oh, no, you see this creature running towards you. It clearly, it stops paying attention to Veronica, who has a great guard up, I imagine, but cannot see this thing as it just blows backwards and speeds towards you.
They're going to roll a six.
They're going to roll a six.
She was like, she did.
I have to say it before she rolls. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Minnie was literally that angel meme that came down with a piece of paper, and it was just like, you rolled a six.
Okay. How does it mess up this attack? Because your portent, you know, affected it. How did you twist fate in this moment?
Yeah. So she is just watching this thing come at her. And just as it seems to be about to hit her, like almost comically, she just kind of like goes, oh, excuse me. And just kind of like steps to the side.
Oh, no, no.
You almost ran into me, young man.
And this thing turns back, just hollow eyes set sort of in the center of the swirling face, and it's going to reach out and try and slam you again. All right, so a 24 to hit.
That's going to hit.
Yeah.
I'm frail, be gentle.
No, it doesn't want
no.
to. That's going to be 13 points of bludgeoning damage as it slams into you, and you feel a very uncomfortable pressure suddenly in your rib cage as this thing bodies you. It clearly knows that you are a threat.
That's fair.
And the other one who is, so now directly still behind Xena, Gob is there. Gob did punch it, so it's probably going to go ahead and try and get Gob. Okay. One of those is definitely not going to hit, but will an 18 hit?
Oh, yeah.
It's 9 plus 3. So that's going to be 12 bludgeoning damage as this thing pelts you. And you see it doesn't really attack with arms, but just like these kind of gobbets of it just come out and like slap at you.
It's like looking in the mirror.
Yeah. All these little wind tendrils slappies at your face. All right, and then that's gonna bring us back up to Minnie, who now you are squaring off with one of these creatures.
All right, so seeing after she, you know, assumed the first time was an accident that he almost ran into her, but then he
this
did
is clearly no longer an
go
accident.
For her.
Yeah.
She's gonna give him that grandma stink eye and cast Mind Spike. So that's gonna be a DC 15 wisdom save.
Okay. I'm not terrible at wisdom, but let's see what happens. Oh, I got a 15.
Oh.
I got exactly a 15.
Well, I rolled really well on damage, so that's going to be...
I like how the other one is rolling like ones and twos and threes on save, and this fucker
it's
is
the
like,
derpy.
No!
It's the derpy one. Like, you always have to have one of those.
Yeah.
This one did not have a good relationship with his grandmother.
Yeah, this one's from the North Wind.
Do we round up or down for having? I don't remember.
Down. Always.
Okay, so 10 points of psychic damage.
Yeah. Okay, you can't tell if it doesn't like that or not because it really doesn't have facial expressions.
Sure,
but
sure.
But oop, there it is. Anything else for you?
No, I don't want an attack of opportunity, so this is where I live now.
And then Veronica, we come down to you.
I look over at Minnie, darling. Are you all right? I don't know why I got really British there all of a sudden.
It happens to the best of us.
She looks around for a second and she's like, who's that?
Is there another ghost in here? Shit, another that.
She's like, oh, maybe. And she, you could see her kind of like leaning on her hip in a strange way, but she's still standing.
Cool, pin that thought. And Veronica will like turn to the other one that's illuminated and run screaming, great axe drawn.
I
loved
her.
So we'll swing for what's the word I'm looking for here? Great axe because or great weapon fighting because advantage.
Mm-hmm,
So that's a dirty 20.
Yeah.
For the first hit. That's 25 magical damage.
Wow, y'all are just, I feel like you're really ganging up on me.
I'm feeling attacked.
Right.
I'm feeling really attacked.
Second hit, with advantage. Again, great weapon.
Yeah.
That's a natural 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god. Well,
thank you, Warcry! Thank you, Warcry, for that advantage. What the heck? So that's math. Let's see. 11, 21, 26 damage.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. Bonus action attack because I can, because we're taking this thing out. Boo. I rolled a 10.
Okay, a 10 will not hit. Yay! It suddenly realizes what is happening and separates its body into two blowing halves, so you cleave right through it. Finally, it gets the picture. Right.
Everybody run.
I'm happy for you, Celeste.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. Anything else for you,
Veronica? No, that'll be it.
All right, and then Inga, we come to you.
All right, how are you all looking? Do you all need some heals?
I'm fine.
I'm a wizard. I mean, I get hit. I'm always in pain. But we'll see.
I'm more half still. So
I'm like half-ish.
All right. Well, I might as well. I'll just get this going now. Well, she's going to use her bonus action. So her starry form transforms from an archer into the shape of a chalice that like overflows with nebula that spills forth, and then she is going to cast for her action Healing Spirit as you suddenly nice. See this like snowy form of like a maiden like springs up, and she goes, and I will put it over towards Minnie first because my sweet dear, you know, she needs to stay around. Wizard
getting punched.
Thank you for not holding it against me even the last time. I was like, druids are weird.
Druids are weird.
No healing for you.
You can see how useful we are.
She didn't say you weren't useful. She said y'all were weird.
You're weird. No, you're super useful.
But don't make no sense, but I'm not mad about it.
Oh, wait, sorry. That's a bonus action. No, I'm sorry. I'll cast Cure Wounds on Minnie. She'll go, boop, get your heals on. And then you'll get back 7. And then since I'm in my chalice form, I can pick someone else to get back heals. And I will pick Veronica to get back 1d8 plus 3. So you'll get back 7.
Ooh. Woo!
Thank All right, you. Doing work, Inga.
And that's my turn.
How does it feel, Katie, getting healed by someone?
Incredible.
What's this feeling?
It's also so weird not being able to do it for myself. I'm just like, well, if I go down, I guess I'll die.
What? I guess we die in the snow. All right, and then Gob, that brings us to you.
Okay, so ahead of me is the fairy fired invisible
friend. Everybody's ganging up on.
Oh, okay. So I'm surrounded by friendos.
You got friends everywhere.
Yay! And I'll just kick.
You all are punching and great axing in a circle.
Yeah. I got a smile now. That's great. Yeah. Let's see. 16 for the first hit.
Yes.
And garbage for the second. And I'll do bonus action as well. Oh, hey, natural 20 for the bonus action. Okay.
Why are you doing this, everybody?
We all have advantage. We all have advantage.
Okay. All at so many.
First attack is 10 reduced to 5. And the bonus will be 14 reduced to 7.
Okay.
Gotta rip this wind apart.
Yeah, you are. You're shredding it. And what was once a vicious gale is now slowly reducing to an annoying gust as you keep attacking this thing. Okay, and then that is bringing us to Xena.
I don't know if I... Should we just finish this guy off or just make the other one visible too? I can't seem to decide which one I'd rather do, but...
Finish him!
I mean, making the other one visible might be a good idea, simply since we're taking this one down with ease.
With such grace.
Okay, now it's gonna be hard from here on out, thanks.
I said it.
I just put my DM curse upon
I
you.
I know, I'm like, oh shit.
You said the words of power!
I'm gonna cast see invisibility on myself. too.
Word.
I need it.
All right. And you see now this thing that is at full power assaulting Minnie across the way.
Okay. I don't have all these wonderful things that give me another action. So yeah, that's my turn.
Spellcasting live. all right. And then that will bring us down to my creature lives to harm another day.
Hello, Katie here, and welcome to this smashing edition of Midroll. First off, we just want to encourage all of you podcast listeners to check out our YouTube channel as well. It's super fun and occasionally even hilarious to watch our big faces react to the situations that Celeste throws at us, and we love seeing your comments on the videos as well. Next, I just want to remind you all that on July 14th at 6:30 PST, the main show will be returning every other Wednesday, but this time with brand new characters to watch take on the new world that the original maidens created with their choices. It's going to be a heckin' good time. Now, a word from our sponsor, Describe. Are you a fantasy DM with more campaign ideas than prep time? Of course you are. Does your party have a peculiar knack for going to that one place you least expected they would? Of course they do. Describe, spelled D-S-C-A-R-Y-B, offers 2,100 scenes of places, monsters, and spells, and the collection just keeps growing. They're just like box text from your favorite adventure book, but designed to be read aloud in your own campaign. Free your creative energy and time for all the other aspects of planning and running the perfect adventure, and stay ahead of your wayward party with the help of Describe's finely crafted box text. Visit Describe.com/Penwitch. That's DSCRYB.com/Penwitch. Try 2 weeks free by using the code Penwitch at checkout. And that's all for me. Now, go refill that cup, I know it's empty, and let's get back to the show.
It's got lots of options for who to hit.
Bring it on.
I mean, I guess maybe it'll keep hitting Gob.
Aw. Womp womp.
It seemed to be able to hit him last time.
Flame in the darkness.
Just lashing out. Okay. So that's going to be a dirty 20.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Quit blowing my eyes.
9 points of bludgeoning damage. And you know what? Actually, now that Xena can see it and like it sees Xena looking at the other one, it's going to send that second attack over to you. Okay. Dirty 20 as well.
Yeah.
Will that hit you?
Yep.
All right. That is going to be 14 points of bludgeoning damage as it slaps you with a blow. And see invisibility is concentration? Yes or no?
It is not.
No.
Okay. All right. Then you don't have to roll to maintain concentration. Fairy fire. Who had the fairy fire up? Oh, okay. All right. Because I was like, Manny, you should be rolling. Okay. That is that one. And speaking of Manny, and speaking of treble, here we go. Yeah. 26 to hit you.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's max damage. Whoa. For a sick 18 points. Ooh. Of bludgeoning damage as this thing is just, it has moved now to kind of encapsulate you. So you are getting like punches from all sides now as this thing is just blowing around you. And whoa, 26 to hit.
Bye, everybody. If I die, there's a letter in my purse for my grandchildren.
Oh.
Oh my god. Don't give me your
we have a
story.
Druid and a cleric. Simmer down.
God, like, whatever.
This
that's
is
nine.
It.
Oh my god. Shut not on a pick. You're not bludgeoning damage.
How much was it?
Just nine. Just nine.
I mean, that's still... Minnie goes down.
Minnie's down. You all see Minnie drop into the snow, and her body still continues to move and writhe, because this thing is, like, basically sitting on top of her, blowing wind around, so...
Jeez.
That's nice. All right.
Spell the dying.
Well, you gotta get over there.
I have to wait. Fine.
She's over there. Yeah, it's a spell.
I'm coming. I'm coming, Mama.
Your turn. And then, oh yeah, Minnie, it's your turn. Make a death saving throw, please.
Sure.
I think that letter to your grandkids has a $5 one. Bill.
Oh no.
Ooh, that is two strikes against you. Minnie, death wants you, babe.
I mean, if it's time, Minnie. It's time.
Your husband calls to you, Minnie.
Minnie, is that you?
It's been so long. Let's have a boom boom.
Oh no.
I mean,
wow. That's a good reason to get up there. Okay. So that's bad. Minnie does not look good, everybody. She is rapidly turning blue in the snow. So Veronica, we come to you.
Good Lord. Is Big Daddy still alive in front of me?
Yes. This is Little Daddy now because you've been hurting him so much. Big Daddy's still invisible.
Big swing. 17.
17 will hit.
And 10, 13, 18 slashing damage.
What does it look like when you kill this creature? I'll let you know. An invisible stalker. What does it look like when you kill that?
I will spin the axe around and slam it down on the snow as hard as I can. And you just see, like, the shimmer from the fairy fire on it kind of, like, coalesce into the sky. And then you'll see the snow on the ground on both sides of where it was standing kind of ruffle as it splits in half.
Yeah, and just blows out of existence like a candle in the wind. anything else for you?
I will run over to the other one where I think it might be standing and swing.
Yep. Okay, so rolling with disadvantage.
Yes. Yeah, nope, I rolled the 9, so that one's not going to hit.
No idea, as you're swinging around your great axe. Okay, and then that's going to bring us to Inga.
Wait, I wasn't done. I killed it, so I get a bonus action attack.
Oh, right. Okay.
Fine.
He's got that cleave feet.
Make your disadvantage attack.
That's going to be 16 to hit.
Oh, fine. You managed to hit it. Swing
it
around.
Good for you.
Right. Good for you. That's going to be 12 damage as my axe finally finds some solid aspect.
Yeah, you are just swinging this around violently, and, like, you manage just through pure luck to make contact with this thing. And there is a little...
The raspberry pain.
Of anger. okay, and then, I'm sorry, was that all?
Yeah, no, that was it. Okay. Thanks.
You done, bitch?
Right. Anything else? Like...
But it's going to be Inga's turn with Gob after that.
All right, so I healed Minnie up for 15, and then Inga's going to try and angle where she thinks this thing is with triangulating with Veronica and Gob here.
You think triangles matter to the rules?
Oh, can it be like the meme
not
with like all the math
not at all.
Around?
Yeah,
Inga's
yeah,
like...
yeah. That is still going to be with disadvantage, but go
well,
for
actually,
it.
It's going because it's in a 5-foot radius, so it actually has to make a Constitution save.
Hmm. Against what?
As I'm casting Thunderclap.
Ah, Thunderclap. Got it. Okay, then here we go. Constitution, eh? How's the wind's constitution? Pretty good. I got a 16.
You do succeed. So
this
you are
one
good.
Refuses to be hit by your spells.
Absolutely not.
Sorceress trickery. Witches will not be tolerated by this invisible stalker.
And then that is my turn. And then the orc is just going to go ahead and try and get some cleaving in.
Yeah.
And let's see. It's got disadvantage. Oh, fuck yeah. 12 plus 6 is 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Oh, shit. That's really good. That is 17 slashing damage. Have to 8.
Okay. Okay. Y'all doing work. I respect that. Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to make his second attack.
Work in person.
So that is 9 plus 6, so 15.
15 will hit. Damn, even with disadvantage?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking work.
And that is 12 plus 4, 16, have to 8.
Okay, 8.
Is that the sound they make when we hit them? Ooh.
Yeah, but it's more like...
The Lucy win.
Hey, folks, I have to show you real quick. This is a D20. You can't really tell, but that's a D20.
I can totally see it. Yeah.
That's a D20 ice?
Yeah.
Cute.
That's awesome. A big boy. We have those too.
I have one of those, but I'm never patient enough to tell me about
your
it.
Your core's still water, and you're like, it kind of works.
we have D20 whiskey stones.
Oh, okay. Shit. Oh, that's nice. Cool.
Beautiful.
We also have Death Star ice cubes that I've Death also Star. Never been patient oh, no. enough to wait for. Yeah. So, you know, that's fine.
But that's my turn.
So much fancy. Okay. Me.
All right. And then, Gob, we're coming at you.
Right. So, does Inga, in the kindness of her heart, drop fairy fire since I'm the only one still lit?
Oh, that's true. Yes, I can do that.
Right. Okay.
Zoop.
Yeah, then I'd, look around and see my friends all scurrying off to go punch out, you know, some more wind. And, yeah, I'd rush over. So, you know, I don't want to be the only one not to break wind. So
that's not yeah, okay.
That's what that expression is for.
That's right.
That's what it is for.
And I'm just going to try to, you know, wiggle between some folks and just, you know, do my
luckily
little punches.
You're little, so you can just walk in there. That's
right.
Yeah.
Right between the legs. Disadvantage for
yes.
Okay, that is a 16.
Yes, that'll hit.
And then
14 is your number.
Second one's a fail, and then bonus action, might as well go again. And 15.
Yeah.
All right. So all right, two hit. Three.
Through sheer tenacity, you all just making it work.
This toddler coming in low.
This toddler.
Eight reduced to 4, and then 4 reduced to 2. So 6 points total.
Okay. Yeah, slowly but surely, you all are chipping away at this thing. All right. Anything else for you?
No, I just, you know, yelling out.
All right. And then Xena, we come to you.
Has Minnie been stabilized or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Minnie's
she's back faking up. It, though. She's still like, oh.
Oh, no. Just leave me to die.
All right. Sounds good. We won't break your cover. Then let's do a guiding bolt on this thing now that I can see him.
You cannot see them.
I can. I cast the invisibility.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You can see him. Yes, you can.
Xena for president.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for president. You can. Xena for president.
She just showed up. She arrived a little late.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do it. 18 to hit.
Yeah.
Yep. It'll do.
Sweet. I'm doing this at third level. I don't know if I said that.
Oh.
No, but.
Oh, that's 8. Wait. 18 radiant damage? Did I hit it right?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Probably.
For third level. Yikes. How do I do that math? Ow! And then it also becomes illuminated, so whoever's going to hit it next will have advantage.
Yep.
Ooh, anything else for you?
No, that will be it.
Okay. And then we are going to move down here. So, Minnie, you are back up. And you still have see invisibility up, and now Xena can see it too. I think actually it's going to just keep hurting you, Minnie, now that it sees that you're back up.
I'm laying there.
The she monsters know what they're doing! Okay, a 27. Oh boy. So that's going to be 14 points of damage.
Ow! Down to 1, baby!
Okay, all right. Well, but then it's going to hit you again.
Oh, no.
I hope it does poorly.
These things do not like...
They're
ageist. Senior citizens. Yeah.
They do senior, not like senior citizens, get out.
The wind hates senior citizens. They're always complaining about the wind and the cold. They're tired of it. That's going to be 10 points of bludgeoning damage. Good night.
Once again.
Damn, Minnie, I walk away for two seconds.
2 seconds.
2 seconds. Back
out, and you're back
A minute
out.
And a half. Jesus.
Well, Xena's all the way over there, and it's surrounded by 12,000 people. So you're the clear choice. All right. So that is going to bring us... Oh, Minnie, make some death saving throws for me.
Sweet Lord.
That's a
We've
3.
Been here before.
Further to death. I'm really... sorry, did you want to tell me something about the letter to your grandchildren again?
I'll just say that one of them is going to be really unhappy with what it says. They're not getting anything. Brat.
Brat. All right. Okay. One step closer to death. And then, Veronica, we come to you.
Ooh. Wait, it's still guiding bolted. Yes,
yes. Yeah, so you get that advantage. Yeah.
Serving right,
so
me.
So normal now. A normal hit. Yay.
Yeah, we're going to do big swing. 14.
To hit, that is exactly what you
need. Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
By the skin of my teeth. So that's 20 slashing damage.
I gotta get me an axe like that.
Yeah. It's magical! What do you want?
A magical one!
Oh. Wait, Gob, do you use great axes?
No, I got hands.
Okay. Oh, well,
he's a fist hands. Brawler. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right.
Next swing, regular attack this time. Nope, that's an 11.
Nope.
Bonus action swing.
All right.
Nope, that's a 10.
Eesh, so you get one really good hit, and the minute that light goes away, you have no idea where it is again. And then, Inga, we move to you.
All right. Now we're going to use our bonus action to cast Healing Spirit.
Okay. Healing Spirit.
God damn it, Minnie.
Minnie, stop dying in the snow.
So we're going to give you 1d8 plus 1d6 healing.
Thanks.
Plus 3, so that you'll get you'll get 15 back again. And then I will use my action to cast Guiding Bolt at this thing with disadvantage, but let's try.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, not bad. That is 14 to hit!
Ah, exactly right, exactly right.
Oh, yes, let's do those 4d6s of radiant damage.
Ooh.
That will be 8.
8, okay. All right, and this thing is outlined in energy.
All right, it's just the next attack. All right, Orc Boy is going to get on in there.
All right, so he's rolling with normal hit now.
That is 8 plus... Damn, 8 plus 6 is 14. Let's go.
Yeah, we are scraping by with disadvantage.
Take it.
Oh, fuck yes. This is so good. This is 20 damage, so half to 10.
Oh, get it.
Ooh, half to 10, half to 10. That's not going to quite do it.
All right, and then he's got another attack. Let's go.
So with disadvantage on this
with
one.
With disadvantage, but that's 12 plus 6 for an 18.
Damn.
Crush it. Let's crush it into the dirt.
Go. All right, that's cocked. Hold on. All right, 8 plus, that is 14 half to 7 slashing damage.
How does your orc
this
invisible stalker?
Oh, it's just like it's so perfect because like this only, you know, with only this like spectral ephemeral creature could fell this other ephemeral
ghost
creature.
Ghost.
And you don't even see it happening, but all of a sudden there's just like this pop of tension as it suddenly becomes quiet and you see that the orc spirit dissipates.
Oh, yeah. And so both, or Xena, I guess you're the only one who sees this stalker, is suddenly gone. And this time, all of the frost giants give you a hearty clap, which is sort of scary because the mountaintop shakes and you see, you know, snow drifts starting to fall off of the hilltop. And this large and in charge frost giant again is like, oh, well done. Well done. You have proven yourselves worthy to enter the vault. So,
oh, yeah.
Come. Receive the blessings of Thrym. And he raises his hands up into the air, and all of a sudden, all of the frost giants disappear. And this large stone throne that this individual was sitting on just begins to shake and then float upward as it levitates. This thing, and that must weigh, I mean, 2,000 pounds, floating now up in the air above. And you see a dark hole directly underneath where that throne was, with steps leading down into the darkness.
Oh, that's nice.
Where's your film?
Yeah, she has been on the outside of the ring the whole time, kind of skulking in a snowbank. And you see, you know, she kind of pops her eyes up over a drift and is like,
ah, then it is real. The vault. You must go and retrieve before the sun rises, or it shall seal once again.
Was there something that you wanted out of this vault?
No, I wish to leave as soon as possible. I did not think the legends were real, but, well, I was wrong.
You learn something new every day.
I see. Yeah.
Do we already know what we're retrieving? What is it?
Yeah,
just treasures.
Oh.
No, it just says there. That was the rumor that underneath, if you stepped into the circle, that's what she told you. She's like, there's a story. If you step into the circle after, you know, during the moon, all these giants show up, you fight them, and you get access to treasure. Apparently, it was true.
Well, let's go. Let's see this fucking treasure.
You guys just see an arm extend from the ground.
Gob's gonna.
I'm gonna give a prayer of healing to everyone.
Yeah, nice.
Everyone.
I'll offer an elbow like a gentleman to Minnie.
Oh, thank you.
Gob, are you doing all right? Yeah.
So yeah. That's 2d8 plus 2. Everyone gets 15.
Ooh.
All right.
Oh, ooh, I got that pep in my step again.
Ooh. That's nice.
Right, Gob and I go to help Minnie up, and she's just like, whoop, all right, time to go. Like, walking past us, we're like, watch out. Okay, never mind. Like,
this is why I've been doing water aerobics for years. To stay spry.
Yes. Very good. All right, so are you all stepping down into the darkness?
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool,
Minnie
cool.
Minnie clasps both Xena and Inga on the back as she passed, and she's like, thanks, ladies. I thought I was going to see Biddy there for a second.
Biddy?
Yeah, that's my husband's name. Biddy Tinkerbobble.
Oh, well, we're not done with you yet, Minnie. You'll be fine as long as you're with us.
Well, I give you a wet kiss, but it just freeze to your face.
Just get crystallized. Excellent. So it is completely dark in this area. What is the dark vision? Does somebody have light, or what's the dark situation?
Gob will take a second and light up a torch from the adventuring kit.
A torch? How blasé.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, you light pedestrian. A torch.
Pull up my lighter.
With that, you can all see. To your left, as you enter this dark hall, is a closed stone double door with no handles or hinges on this side. To your right is a carved tunnel blocked by an iron gate that has a 1 foot square, has 1 foot square gaps between its horizontal and vertical bars. The iron hinges on the northern side of the gate indicate that it swings inward. Situated in shallow alcoves at the far end of this hall are 6 braziers, each one in the shape of a 4-foot-tall, 2-foot-wide stone urn held snugly atop a 5-foot-high clawed basalt pedestal. Carved into each urn is a rune. Above the alcove looms a stone archway, into which there are some words inscribed.
Oh, no.
A puzzle. And you can recognize... I think only Gob, you're the only one who speaks Dwarvish, correct?
Oh.
Or, yeah, dwarvish, yeah. And giant.
Oh, if you speak giant, yeah. So giant is written in the...
Oh, I speak giant.
Okay. So giant is written in the dwarvish alphabet. So you can speak dwarvish, or you can speak giant, but if you read dwarvish, you can understand the written.
We know what you're saying.
You both would be able. You both would be able to read the inscription that is on this arch, which says, "Snatch a scale from a sleeping worm. Against the billowing wind, stand firm. Climb a mountain with a stone in your shoe. On little feet, death comes for you. Be the arrow that starts the war. Let life's blood fall till it falls no more." I will go ahead and post that in the Zoom chat for you all. Yeah.
I was like, wait, hold on. I'm like trying to furiously type like afterwards.
It's okay. We have technology.
Thank God.
We do not have to write notes. Like,
don't say that to me. I have a legal pad just for this
Okay,
game.
All right. I know. It's very cute. I really appreciate that you take notes. I really do. So essentially what you're looking at is that there are a set of doors on your left-hand side, and then to your right is a closed iron gate that looks like you will not be able to push it open from this side, basically. And then in front of you, you have these six brazier urn combos, and then this archway with this riddle atop of it. So those are the notable features in this room.
All right, check out the brazier.
Whoever wrote this description was very obsessed with giving you specific feats, and I got confused reading it. I did not write this part, everybody.
Good to know, yeah.
You said that the urns each have a rune written on them?
They do. You can definitely look at these runes, and you would be able to identify them as well as Inga, since they are also in that language. And let me go ahead and I can show you what they actually look like. Ooh. Here we go. Puzzies and riddies. So these are the runes that are inscribed on each of the areas. So Dodd, the death rune, Fjell, the mountain rune, Krig, the war rune, Liv, the life rune, Vind, the wind rune, and Worm, the dragon rune.
Inga turns to you all very straight-faced and with absolutely no, like, intonation in her voice says, "Well, we clearly have to light the braziers in the order which this says," as she points to the riddle above the doorway.
Which would make sense, yeah.
She'll translate them for you.
Okay.
Can I take a peek in a nearby door just to see if there's something relevant?
Sure. So you want to open up the double doors on the left-hand side?
Oh, it's just a single set of double doors?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a peek.
Yeah, it's the single set of double doors, and then it's the iron gate that is very much closed on the other side of the room from it.
Gotcha. Yeah, while the eggheads figure out the puzzle,
I'll rude. Take a look. Okay.
Nerds.
Yeah, you can definitely creep over to these double doors. I'll get those runes for you. One second, let me pull that up one more time. We have death, mountain, war, life, wind, and dragon.
Okay.
Okay, so Gob, yeah, you creep over to the set of double doors, and I mean, clearly everything here was made for giants, so these doors are extremely large and extremely heavy. So if you would like to push them open, go ahead and give me an athletics check.
All right, that's a 23.
Okay, yeah, so you managed to, you know, and push open these very heavy doors. And the room you see beyond, this chamber holds four large wooden chests with iron fittings and built-in locks. Hanging from a hook in the middle of the ceiling is a 1 foot diameter iron ring with four 1 foot long iron keys and a single 1 foot long silver key dangling from it. And this looks to be about 20 feet up in the air.
Jump for it. I got another puzzle in here. Damn.
Yeah, but there are four locked wooden chests and a key hanging very far above you in this room. Or a key ring with four keys.
And it's hanging from a chain or a rope or something?
Yeah, like so it's like a hook has been put in the ceiling, and somebody has hung the key ring on that hook.
Okay. We can snap back to the other folks. I don't want to hog up too much. I got an idea, though.
What's going on?
Well, we're going to light these pyres, these things.
Okay. You discover, after some trial and error, and thinking it's a mistake, but then it's not, fire does not light these braziers. No matter what you do, no matter how much kindling you put in there, lighting them the traditional way does not seem to be the way to light these braziers. There's something magic going on here, clearly.
Not even magic fire, I assume.
Yeah, because Ingo is about to try casting bonfire in one of them.
Magic fire will not do it. Flint and tinder won't do it. Torches won't do it.
Can I make some kind of arcana check, even though it's not in a language I understand, but just...
Yeah, they've read it to you. You can go ahead and try and make an arcana check.
17.
Okay, so this is clearly some kind of puzzle that is testing both your understanding of the riddle, and the riddle is clearly trying to give you instructions about how to accomplish this, almost like the patterns of a spell. It definitely feels like a spell to you, actually, as you're looking at it. And something that spells usually need are components, I think, is something that would occur to you.
Okay. I will relay that information to everyone here in the room. It's as if it's citing a spell towards us that we have to complete in order to light these. Some sort of
ritual.
There's
a pedestal on the far end of the room, right? A pedestal?
No, so all of the braziers are on the pedestals, and the pedestals have the runes on them.
Perhaps there is other torch we find in other part of cave that we must use to light braziers.
Yeah, over here there's some.
So Gob is calling your attention to that other
Walk
room.
Walk over to Gob.
Yeah, and you all see the same thing going on in here. So there are four really large chests on the floor, and then way 20 feet up above you, there is a key ring with four keys that is hanging from a hook.
So I think,
Go ahead.
So Gob doesn't use it very often, but he'll kind of root around in his pack for a second and pull out a hand axe. Ugh, this doesn't feel right. I'm going to try and throw the axe maybe where the chain attaches to the ceiling or where the ring attaches to the chain.
Yeah, trying to hit it off. Yeah, go ahead and make me an attack.
Here we go.
Ooh, guidance, yes.
All right. That's an 18 plus 4, and then it's an attack roll.
Yeah.
29.
A million.
Wow. Okay. I think so. These are giant size keys, so the fall is going to be pretty hard. What does it look like when you interrupt this and cause the keys to fall down to the ground?
Gonna catch. No, absolutely not.
No, you all back away as these giant 1 foot long keys.
Oh, that's right.
Fall.
They're giant.
They're giant sized keys. So they're 1 foot long, like the size of your forearm, made out of solid metal.
That's a no for me. Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, and with a huge, painful clattering sound that rings out through the room, this key ring lands on the ground. Some of the keys, they don't even look dented. The metal is so thick and heavy. But you have four chests, and you have four keys in this room.
I'm guessing the chests are not big enough to accommodate these large keys.
They are.
Oh,
damn.
Success. Okay.
Let's check out these chests.
The chests are also very large. I mean, any of you could easily crawl into these chests. They're giant size.
Picks up Gob.
Huge.
No,
they're
just
made
gob.
For huge
I
creatures.
See.
Yeah. I mean, you could fit like six gobs in one of these chests. Nice.
Is there anything on the keys specifically, like something inscribed on them, or do they have any runes?
No.
Divvy up all the keys and let's try them. Let's look around.
Hold on. Inga's gonna cast Find Traps.
Right. There are five keys total. Sorry. Four normal-ass keys, okay. And then one really cool silver key.
Oh, okay.
And there are four chests. Sorry, everybody. God. Yes, you cast Find Traps. What's the range on that?
120 feet.
Okay. You would get the sense there are no traps in this room. Do you have to see?
So it says you sense the presence of any trap within range as within line of sight, so she can, you know, do a whoop.
You do not see, then, any traps in this room or in the brazier room at all.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, we did fight a mountain to get in here, so...
You did. You proved yourself to get in here, so...
Apparently it wasn't good enough.
It'd be very rude if there was a trap down here.
As soon as he gets the A-OK.
Yeah. Inga eventually will be like, it does not seem that there are any additional traps on these chests, so try it.
As I turn the key.
Try it. All right.
Oh, okay.
I will take out the rope that I have in my bag and like wrap it around Gob and be like, just cool, in just in case.
Just in case.
I don't need
case.
A leash.
Oh, you put a baby leash. Kids
harness. It's going to be like the monkey backpack with the tail.
Oh, no.
I'll throw a fit. I'll throw a fit.
Okay, well, Gob throws a fit. And through all of this, you do manage to turn the key in the lock. Nothing happens. You hear a clicking sound as the chest opens. Nothing happens. You go up, reach, and have to like heave the lid, the huge lid off. And you know, you kind of have to climb up to look what's inside of it. And you see that there is a single object in this huge chest. There is one thing at the bottom of it. And you see that it is an arrow. And the arrow clearly has, like, fletching patterns and a style that would indicate this is probably an elven arrow.
Was it an arrow in the puzzle thing? Is that what...
Maybe we have to put the arrow inside the brazier that corresponds with the poem.
Oh, man, what a treasure.
I guess we open the rest.
Yeah, if you want to open them all up.
Yeah. Have at it, kids.
Be the
be
arrow
over
that
here.
Starts the war.
In the second chest, you find a frozen stiff, dead snowy owl.
Oh,
at the bottom of this chest.
Winter
I take
life.
It. I'm sad.
On little feet, death comes for you?
Oh.
And then the third chest, you open it up, and you see at the bottom a gleaming scale, a gleaming white dragon scale.
Snatch a scale from a sleeping worm.
And then the last chest, you see a fist-sized stone.
Stone in your shoe.
It's a mountain.
Okay.
Mountain.
Is it just a stone, or is there anything special about it?
If only one of you had Dwarven stone cutting.
If only.
It looks like a stone.
Okay.
It's a rock?
A rock!
It is a rock!
A great, big, beautiful rock.
Okay, let me level with you for a second. Because the description I am supposed to tell you is a fist-sized stone from Kelvin's cairn. But how the fuck would you be able to tell where a fucking rock came from, kids? That makes no fucking sense.
What the hell?
So
that's the next merch idea. It's just, it's a rock.
It's a rock.
It's a rock. But it's from the Venture Maiden. So, $25.
Oh my god. No, we know where the Dugan's Holt one was, because it'd be rhinestoned.
It'd be
well, I mean, depending on if, like, you're a denizen of the area, you would know that, like, this place only has this kind of stone.
Yeah,
that's
but it doesn't say, like, it's like a striped tiger's eye, which only comes from the mines of Kelly. It's a fist-sized stone.
It's a rock, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a rock.
It's a rock.
It's a rock.
Well, it's got a stamp on the bottom, though. It says Kelvin's Cairn.
Oh, it says made in Kelvin's Cairn. Weird. Yeah, there's a little gold sticker on the bottom that said made in Kelvin's Cairn underneath this rock.
All right, noted. Cool. All of it in the bag.
So we got a puzzle.
The one thing I'm confused about for which one is for what thing is that there's the death one, but then also, like, against the blowing wind, stand firm. We got a popsicle bird.
I mean, owls have tiny feet, so...
Yeah, it's
true.
Also dead.
We'll have to see what the other things that we find are. Perhaps then we could use process of elimination.
Yeah, you're going order.
Someone's getting cut. If let life's blood fall till it falls no more. Someone's gotta, like, cut their palm ritual style. More than likely.
Probably.
I mean, I've almost died already.
You have. You don't have enough blood in your body.
Yeah, you precious baby.
I'm not a baby.
Yeah. So that is all that you find in this room. There do not appear to be any other objects in this room or the brazier room.
Even with my see invisibility, because that still goes on for an hour.
Correct. There's nothing invisible here.
Well, we clearly need more components.
Is the silver key a component?
That's what I was trying to think. Nothing is coming to mind for it, though. But I guess just a serious search of both spaces.
Yeah.
Might yield some information.
I will say you can search and search and search. You are positive that there are no other objects in either of these rooms.
Well, we could blow for the wind one.
True. Uh-huh.
And then the other one could just be blood.
Yeah, hold on. Let me read the thing again. Yeah, blood, most likely, actually.
Snatch a scale from a sleeping worm. Against the blowing wind, stand firm. Climb a mountain with a stone in your shoe. On little feet, death comes for you. Be the arrow that starts the war. Let life's blood fall till it falls no more.
Yeah, I kind of think that's the play, because if we do the bird one for the death one, then the blowing air is the only thing that we can, like, produce ourselves that I can think of, other than blood.
Yeah, let's try it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's do this in order, then, see what happens.
So put the dragon scale.
I want to know. We should have someone put that rock in their shoe and climb that pyre or
get on that brazier.
And brazier.
The whole thing lights up.
Put it on there and then climb down.
Gob is now on fire.
As it is written.
That's the size of my foot.
Okay. So, sorry. Who is dropping what into what, Urn?
Well, I'll start out with the dragon scale. Into the dragon one.
All right. And you do. And as you drop the dragon scale into the brazier, it comes to life.
Oh, yeah.
Inga will try blowing on the one that's marked with the wind rune.
All right. And you do. And as you just into the brazier, as if there was already embers to be stoked, a roaring flame comes to life.
This is serving me a lot of fifth element. Like, the stones, like, match. Right, like,
Lilo Dallas. Right.
Just, like, blow Multipass. Onto the tiny stone and it lights up, like, yeah.
Corbin
Dallas.
Yeah, so what's the next one?
The rock mountain.
Climb a mountain. Put that fist-sized stone.
That made in Kelvin's Cairn stone. You drop that in and it lights.
Oh, God. Glad you
I'd know that stone anywhere.
I'm sure Inga would want to very gently place that little owl herself.
Yeah. Oh, poor baby. And the owl is quickly consumed by the flames that start to lick up at this brazier.
Veronica will place the arrow in the next one.
Yeah, and you do. As you light the war, brazier, fire. One living, one left.
Is it the blood one? I got more blood than I know what to do with.
I can just
probably, but we don't want you to die, so.
Listen.
Please. I can quickly patch myself right back up. Allow me. And I will cut a little gash in my palm and swipe it across the top of the brazier.
Yeah, and as you do and your blood makes contact, it sizzles like a cast iron pan and
nice.
The brazier
no
lights
to
up.
Die tonight.
And you see now all of the braziers are lit and you hear sound as the iron gate lifts, allowing you to pass onto the space beyond.
Got that key. Oh yeah.
Go.
Fuck yeah, go with that key.
Hell yeah.
Worthy as fuck.
Woo!
Hell yeah. All right. And so you walk down a curved tunnel that ends in a pair of heavy stone doors. So once again, Gob, would you like to do the honors of pushing open these giant-sized stone doors, granite doors?
I will help.
Yeah, all right. Roll with advantage then, Gob.
Oh, thank you.
All right, that's a 21.
Okay, yeah, like you've done it before, you just push open these doors, and you see in this room, a large oak chest with silver fittings stands against the wall directly opposite the double doors. A gold key sticks out of the chest's built-in lock.
Whoa. You still got that trap thing up, or did that go away?
No, it's a one and done, but I can certainly cast it again.
If you'd be so kind, so no one falls into the abyss.
Oh my god, if we get to take that gold key home, we're rich.
Yeah, that'd be good. You get to be Mickey Mouse from Kingdom Hearts.
Oh boy!
That's fine. Impeccable.
Jesus. Sorry, did you say you're casting?
Yes, I'm casting. I'm casting Fine Trap!
So... Do I just have to say yes, there's a trap, or do I give you more?
Okay, I will read you exactly what the spell says. Okay. So, you sense the presence of any trap within range that is within line of sight. Is it in this room? A trap for the purpose of the spell includes anything that would inflict a sudden or unexpected effect you consider harmful or undesirable. Which was specifically intended as such by its creator.
I need this for bar crawls.
Thus, the spell would sense an area affected by the alarm spell, a glyph of warding, or a mechanical pit trap, but it would not reveal the nature or weakness in the floor, an unstable ceiling, or a hidden sinkhole.
Interesting.
The spell merely reveals that a trap is present. You don't learn its location of each trap, but you do learn the general nature of the danger posed by the trap you sense.
I fucking hate this spell. Okay.
Curse traps?
Always.
All so of you go sweet. Up because your hair is fucking beautiful.
Oh my god.
You know what you're looking
all
for.
A thirst trap.
Oh my god.
There are four traps. There are five traps in this room. Like, you see four, Inga, but you don't feel good about yourself either.
Damn. Okay. So basically, I don't know where it is, but I can sense something in the room if it was intended by its creator to be like, fuck you.
Yes. You get the. All right. I will say you're looking at this chest in the center of the room with silver fittings, and that spell and the gold key ping as a trap. You're not exactly sure what will happen, but you feel like if you turn the gold key, it would be very bad.
Okay, so we just switched it out for the silver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got this.
Definitely.
Everyone stand.
Yeah, and Inka will relay all of this to you.
I got it. Y'all stand back. We'll swap a rule. And, I'll saunter on up there. Heft the silver key, the gold one. And, really quickly, just because I think that's probably what God thinks he should do, is pull the gold key out and swap it with the silver.
Okay, you do. And in this deft maneuver, you're now holding this key. It's made of solid gold and about a foot long. So, boy, oh boy. It's heavy and pretty, but yeah, you put the silver key in the lock and nothing has happened.
I look back, all right,
and I'll give it a turn.
Okay, and as you do, you hear the click of the chest turning, and you see, once you open the lid, that lying in the bottom of this chest is a horn. It is a horn that has a lion's head on the very end of it, and it's slightly curved. And just even looking at this item, you get the sense that it is quite magical. This is a horn of blasting,
ooh,
which is a rare, very cool magic item.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Do you mean a horn like a musical instrument or like a horn of an animal, a creature?
Like a musical instrument.
It's like a toot-toot horn.
So you blow into it, and there's a horn of blasting, so you can probably imagine what it does. So you see this beautiful carved object in this chest, Gob.
I'll reach in. Some antique, somebody will give a shit about it, I guess. And I'll toss it back to Veronica, or whoever has eyes on me.
And I'll kind of crawl in a little bit and look for like a false bottom because that can't be the only treasure.
Nope, that's it.
Junky old horn.
You're like, wow, great. Somebody, D&D Dad in chat said, a magical vuvuzela. That's basically what it is.
Did you plant that seed?
So you have found this. So Gob, yeah, you look around disappointed. It seems like this is the only thing in this chest.
I will tug on the rope that's still attached up. Come on. Come on. Get out of there. What have I told you?
I'm going to have two ice creams. No more. All
right. Then I'll, lug back the key and look a little crestfallen.
Minnie looks at the key and she's like, that's not going to fit in Grandma's purse, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You look at that key, you could sell that key for good money. That is worth its weight in treasure alone, Gob, if that's any consolation to you.
Gob, are you gonna drag it through the snow by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care.
I could do it. Damn it.
Yeah. I'm not okay, but I'm not coming to get you out of the snow when it inevitably drags you down, and you're not tying it to Bolto Thunder.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even think about that. But yeah, is there any other stuff in the room?
No, it seems like this was it. This was the mighty treasure that was hidden beneath Yarlmoot.
Gotcha. All right, I'm here for it.
I mean, it's a pretty cool item. Yeah. If y'all want to look that up on D&D Beyond,
I did, and I'm literally just
it's nice.
Yes, God. It's cool as fuck. I've always wanted one.
It's also not attunement, so anybody can use it, which is pretty cool.
I like the end. Each use of the horn's magic has a 20% chance of causing the horn to explode. The explosion deals 10d6 fire damage to the blower and destroys the horn.
Sweet lord.
Make sure it's clear.
What? That's the risk every time?
Every time.
To damage and deal 5d6 thunder to everything in the cone.
Right.
Like, it's good.
A 30-foot cone is, like, forever.
Yeah. That's like a dragon breath attack, basically. And deafened, which, like, is a nasty condition to put on someone.
It's a real oh shit button.
Yeah, it's good.
So but scary. That horn
is magic? Oh.
Magic should scare you.
it's terrifying.
Yeah.
I love how it's specifically glass or crystal. Like, how often do you just run across, like, oh, these constructs are made out of glass because
reasons.
You know
what? You would be shocked how many times these little details become relevant.
Can this... I don't know if I have to roll for this or anything, but would it also affect, ice sculptures in that same way?
Ooh, I would say I would give ice to you. Yeah. Like, if you ran up against an ice golem, I think it would work the same way as crystal.
Glass or crystal, yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. Because I feel like we're in a place where that can definitely happen.
That night.
You see, like, a smile go across Veronica's, like, lips. Like, I know what we're going to go and break with
see
this
you
thing.
Hold your vuvuzela. Mm. So, do you all make your way? Make your way out of the tomb?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Back into the cold, frigid, fresh air.
Oh, yeah, it was, I mean, it was still cold down there, but it was like, you know, refrigerator cold instead of wind blowing, awful, open conditions cold. So taking your prize in hand, you all ascend the steps once again, coming out from, it's kind of odd because, you know, the shadow of that throne is still hanging over, you know, that 2K of weight. But you make your way to the top. And as you're looking around, you know, it's at this point, because that was like midnight when all this started. So it's, you know, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. now. So it's a weird time of night. And as you're looking around, you notice that something is wrong. You don't see Yselm. She's not where you were before. And then you start to hear growling sounds. And you notice that there are multiple pairs of these electric blue eyes that are staring at you from the ring as you see a cadre of winter wolves that have surrounded you on top of this space. And only now you see Yselm steps out from behind one of these pillars and she says,
"You are braver than I thought to survive the trials at Yarlmoot. But your journey stops here, And she looks at you, Xena, and she says, "Come, sister. You have also been blessed by the maiden. Let us destroy them, for it is her will. Join us." And that is where we are going to end for today.
What? This cliffhanger, though.
Oh,
Nassim. Nassim.
I'm so she's betrayed. Like, goodbye.
How dare you? We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Oh, no. Is this your secret?
Learn from this. Like,
who knows?
I can't wait 2 weeks, y'all.
Well, thank you, everybody, so much for joining us for this 5th episode of Rime of the Frost Maiden. If you are enjoying the show, we will be back in 2 weeks. So on the 24th, we are here every other week. And of course, on the weeks we're not playing Rime of the Frost Maiden, you can check out our main campaign, which is now, it's going to be episode 98 next week. So we are racing towards our exciting finale for that campaign we've been playing for 5 years. So obviously, it's getting spicy. So if you enjoyed the show, please do make sure to follow, to subscribe here on Twitch. That is super duper kind of you to do. Also make, just tell your friends to come and check out the show, and make sure to follow us on social media everywhere at Venture Maidens to keep up with all of the exciting things we are doing. But yeah, oh wow, you guys, I'm excited for 2 weeks.
I'm really upset that it's 2 weeks, because now I have to like lay in bed at night wondering,
and
like,
be mad at Xena.
What is going? Not even mad. I'm like, what is going on? Like,
what is happening right now? Oh, that's the best.
I am
stressed. That's the best. Well, I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich.
I'm Joe. I've been your North fighter, Garb Herkenstone.
I am Katie, and I've been playing Minerva Tankbobble, your human wizard.
I'm Nassim, and I am most certainly Xena Orendi, your Kalishtar cleric. Friend, as always. Don't worry about it.
Friend.
It's fine, and we're all cool.
This is cool, right? This is totally fine.
Right? Everything's great.
And and I am Sage, and I have been your Circle of the Stars druid, Inga Selenin.
And I'm Vincent, your changing warlock filled with all that eldritch sass.
Yes! All right. Well, thank you again so much for being here, for supporting the show. And until next time...
Holy smokes, what an episode. If you like what we're doing here, remember to follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest and greatest we're bringing to you. That's at Venture Maidens on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find our Venture Maidens page on Facebook. If you still just can't get enough, then consider checking out our Patreon page, where you can get access to all kinds of tasty audio, DM notes from myself and Celeste, magic items written by the ever-amazing Drop the Die, and so much more. You can find all of that at patreon.com/venturemaidens. And with that, we're going to play you an ad for another wonderful sister show in our Penwich studio family, the lovely Craftians. Keep cozy, my friends.
We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far. And yet here we are, in defiance of Lovecraft, laughing through the darkness. The Lovely Craftians is an all-ladies Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast with horror, humor, and no small amount of chaos set in an occasionally familiar modern-day Chicago. Brought to you by Wampus House Productions and the Penwich Studio Network, you can find the Lovelies on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcatcher, or anytime over at lovelycraftians.com. And remember, You never roll sanity alone here.